Heavenly Father, we call upon you, the Lord of the Word, to help us hear and respond to the Word of the Lord this very day. Amen. I'm actually going to have you sit right now, so you may be seated. We'll stand again and I read, but I have an introduction before we read the Scriptures. As a pastor said, I've had the privilege of preaching regularly in the evening and decided just to keep preaching through 1 Samuel, so I'm not going to preach on any hobby horse, but just where the next portion of Scripture comes, and it's at a point that's very interesting, especially for those of you who are a little younger today, because we're coming to a person that we think in the Scripture is about 12 years old. And he is going to be called to the Lord. So whether you're a child or a teenager almost, or teenager, young adult, especially, this is for you. But of course, the word is for all of us. And we're coming to the point where Samuel is called to know God at 12 years old. And also to become a prophet, but especially to know God. And sometimes we think that knowing God happens when you're older, but you can know God when you're younger, and he often and usually calls people to himself when you're young. And so we'll know what this means. And it might be surprising when we come to this portion of Scripture that the one who's going to become a prophet at this point, Samuel, is no different than Eli's son, who we'll find out tonight, will be killed, even though they served in the temple, because they claimed to know the Lord, but in reality did not at all. And at this point, they're described exactly the same. Eli's wicked sons are described this way. Now, the sons of Eli were worthless men. They did not know the Lord. And Samuel at this point is described as Samuel did not yet know the Lord. You see, they're the same. Without the Lord, we don't have any hope. We're sinful from our birth. You children, even though your parents love you and do many good blessings to you and give you good gifts, and I hope they praise you often, but I know something they do more than they praise you. And it's because you're a sinner. They have to tell you what's right. Clean up your room. Shut the door. Stop taking cookies. Why are you lying? Obey me. Right? You've all heard those things. Why? Because we need the Lord, from a child to an adult. And so this word is for all of us today, because we live for ourselves. The real God in our life is ourselves. We love us. We want to do what we want to do. Now, that doesn't just apply to the children today. That applies to each one of us. Oh, yeah, I'll be God because I don't want to go to hell, so I'll come to church. Or I don't want to get in trouble. The question is, has God called you? And if he calls you, how do you know that you've been called, and what is your response? So children and teens, I want you to pay special attention as Samuel, now almost a teenager, will have to decide if he will answer God's call upon his life. And if he answers him, will he follow him? But let me also be clear with each of you this morning that the message is not just for children and teens, because you may be like an adult of Hophni and Phinehas, attending and being active in the church all of your lives, and yet still not knowing, and especially not following the Lord. You see, all these young men grew up in believing home, with the high priest Eli as their father or their mentor, and they regularly served in the temple. Yet at this point, none of them knew the Lord. Therefore, being raised in a Christian home, along with a regularly attending church, does not make you a Christian. If you went home and sat every day in your garage for 3 hours, would that make you a car? No, sitting in a church won't make you a Christian. Therefore, listen carefully to Samuel, because at the same time this morning, you will hear God's call him. But the God call of God to know him is universal. It means it comes to every one of you. Every one of you, no matter your age today, are going to hear God's call to sinners. God is calling you if you're a sinner. Now, if you're not a sinner, you can go. You see, none of us can go. We all sin. We all need a Savior. And so you might say, it'd be easily say, oh, this is for Samuel at 12. Let the kids respond, right? We all kind of nudge our kids. Hear that? But it's for all of us. So let us stand and hear the word of God. 1 Samuel chapter 3. Now the young man Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called, Samuel. And he said, here I am. And he ran to Eli and said, here I am, for you called. But he said, I didn't call. Lie down again. So he went and lay down. And the Lord called Samuel again. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. But he said, I did not call you, my son. Lie down. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again a third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the young man. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. So Samuel went down and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood calling as at the other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, speak, your servant hears. Then the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I'm about to do a thing in Israel at which the two ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. On that day, I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. And I will declare to him that I'm about to punish his house forever for the iniquity he knew, because his sons were blaspheming God and he did not restrain them. Therefore, I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever. Samuel lay until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. But Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son? And he said, here I am. And Eli said, what was it that he told you? Do not hide it from me. So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him, and he said, it is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and the Lord let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel was established as a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again at Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord. And the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Thanks be to God for his word.
Amen.
You may be seated. You need to listen to God's call to you this morning. God called Samuel to himself with his word. Samuel, almost a teenager, had been serving in the temple for 8 years and now repeatedly heard God's call to him. Samuel, Samuel, Samuel. And you've been sitting in the church for years, and he's repeatedly called you with pastor after pastor. He's called your name to come and know the Lord. But you may not have yet done that. Today is that day. God is calling sinners to himself, and you all are sinners, no matter your age, and you need to know the Lord. He calls unto himself people like you and me. Now, Samuel was unclear about what he heard, and he needed a priest, a prophet, a pastor to explain. And so Eli explained. It said, "And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am, for you called me.' Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Then Eli said to Samuel, 'Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, "Speak, Lord, for their servant hears." So Samuel went and lay down." He comes through God's word. God's word is coming to you today to come unto him, to know him. It's such a great privilege for me as a preacher to be able to do that, because God doesn't come and speak audibly to us today. He speaks through his living word, the word of God, as you read it and the Holy Spirit applies it to your heart, or someone shares it with you, your parents, when they have devotions or pray with you at bed, or the pastor on Sunday mornings or at a Bible study. But you, in the same way, today, are hearing God's word. There's no excuse. I could take the time and put all of your names in here, if I knew all of them, or could even remember all of them, or we had the time to read all of them. But you're here, and God is calling you. That's why he sovereignly brought you, so that you have an opportunity to think about your own heart and hear God's call on your life. For as the preacher preaches, it says in Romans 10:14, "How then will they call upon him they have not believed? And how are they to believe in whom they've not heard? And how do they hear without someone preaching?" I'm here. You're hearing. There's no excuse. God's call is to each one of you to turn from your sins, which Hophni and Phinehas refused to do, and they would soon be killed. If you come tonight, you'll hear about it. Come, hear about that awful judgment of those who refuse to respond to God's call. God calls each one of you to turn from your sins and trust Jesus as your Savior and Lord, that you might become his beloved, blood-bought child. Everyone. Anybody missing from everyone there? Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. There's no reason for you to go to hell. There's no reason to be judged for your sin and rebellion against God. You can call on the name of the Lord and know him this very day. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Samuel was called, and you are being called. Answer God's call to you this morning. Samuel now knows, because of Eli telling him, that God was calling him this fourth time as he was the other times to respond. Samuel now understands and readily responds when God speaks the fourth time and says, "Samuel, Samuel." Samuel says, "Speak, for your servant hears." Let me again speak specifically to you children. You might be 5 or 6 and say, I'm not 12 yet. God wouldn't be calling me. No, he called, it seems, John the Baptist when he was still in his mother's womb. So being young is no excuse. Let me speak now to you children and you young teens and young adults. But to all you who have grown up under the blessing of believing parents, hearing God's call upon your life from them in the church, week after week, year after year, and yet refusing to respond to God's call to you. There came a time in the life of Hophni and Phinehas, and it wasn't when they were old as dirt as some of us are getting to be. They were still young men. And they died. And it was too late for them to answer God's call. They also had the blessing of growing up around the Lord and even serving the Lord in the temple. But they would soon die for their rebellion and unbelief. Listen again from God's word to his call to you this morning. No matter your age, seek the Lord while he may be found. He may be found today, right here. He's calling this day. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. He gathers with his people when they join together to worship. Let the wicked, let all of us sinners forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord that he might have compassion on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Those who come trusting Jesus, God's provision, God has promised abundant pardon, all of our sins, when we would call and answer his call. But remember, now don't let yourself start to nod off, I'm older than 12. Children of all ages, men and women and boys and girls, just as God called Samuel, today, standing in Samuel's place as his preacher, God's ambassador, his minister of his holy word, I call upon you to wait no longer to confess your sins and call upon Jesus as your Savior and Lord. For as it says in 2 Corinthians 6:2, behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You have no excuse. You have heard God's call to all wicked men, women, boys, and girls that there is salvation in him. Samuel was called and answered God's call. God's call is to you today. Will you answer his clear call to you? Thankfully, Samuel not only heard that call and responded to that call, but he proved that he understood the call and he followed God. You see, there's a lot of people get emotional, and you might hear this, oh, I want to do it, but I still want to live for myself. That doesn't work. You become God's servant, as Samuel does here, and now followed his word. If you're going to love and respond to God's call, that means that you obey him. Not because you're afraid of him. He is your father, but because you're loved by him. He provides a way of salvation. So listen to 1 Samuel 3, verses 15 to 18. Samuel not only heard the call, but he proved that the call was his because he obeyed. 1 Samuel 3, 15 to 18. Samuel lay until morning, then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli, but Eli, remember what the vision was? His sons would soon be killed along with himself because of their rebellion. That's a horrible thing to have to tell the one who's acting as your father and mentor for all these years. And at only 12 years old. But Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son, and he said, here I am. And Eli said, what is it that he told you? Do not hide any from it from me. May God do so to you and more if you hide anything of all that he told you. So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing. And he said, it is the Lord Let him do what seems good to him. He not only heard the word, but he obeyed it and was willing to do it when it was hard. Few of us are called to be prophets or preachers telling forth the word of God, but all of us who by faith come to Christ and have been bought by his blood shed for us are called to call him master. So if you respond to your call, that means that you're no longer God. Now it's a battle. I battle it all the time, every day. I wrote something in Facebook yesterday, and what I wrote was that we have trouble because anything we want, the basic quote was this, anything that we want to do, we can rationalize it and say, oh, I could do that. We know God doesn't want us to do it, but we want to do it. So we rationalize it and we play God. And I had a response from a friend who said, well, how do you not do that? Well, you remember that you're blood bought. Remember that you're no longer your own. Remember the awful price that was paid to you, and you respond not out of fear, but, oh my, how could I take Christ off the throne of my life, rip him off, and I jump up there and say, got what I want. And so over and over again, we come and say, oh Lord, forgive us for stealing your place. And so you may have responded to God's call, but my question is, will you follow him? Do you follow him? Do you have the desire? Or is it just, I'll go to church. I had to go to Sunday school. Do you really have that desire? John 15, verses 8 and 10 talks about how those who are the Lord serve him. It says this, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I love you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Therefore, for any of us, no matter what age we are, if we've become God's children, it's not enough just to hear his words, but also because he loves you, because it's your joy and duty now to follow your Heavenly Father. Now, I told you that tonight we'll find out the results of Hophni and Phinehas and Eli because they refused to follow God. And particularly it tells us in the scripture from today in 1 Samuel 3:13, it sums up what their sin was. 1 Samuel 3:13, and declare to him, that is Samuel was to tell Eli, that I'm about to punish his house forever for the iniquity he knew. What was this sin? What was this iniquity that his boys were about? And it's summed up with blaspheming. Now, normally when we hear the word blasphemy, we think that's because we've said something awful about God. We've not given him credit. In the New Testament, it talks about that. So we can often, we blaspheme God because we refuse to trust Jesus Christ. But here, the judgment, their blasphemy, wasn't their words, but as their life didn't match up to their words. They were priests of God serving the holy things and the holy God in the temple, but as you know, they took the best of the sacrifices. They took the ribeyes. They took the T-bone steaks for themselves, the sacrifices to God, so they could barbecue those things and eat the fat, you know, hot fat. Now, we won't talk about that. It's getting too close to lunch. But you know what it's like to get good meat done well. And you see, they were given boiled meat that God would give them. They said, no, I want what I want. And then their other sin was that they laid with women at the gate of the temple. You see, their blasphemy wasn't their words, it was that their life didn't match up to their words. Oh my. We're all in trouble, aren't we? As God worked in Samuel's life and he became a prophet, there's an amazing thing that said is none of his words fell to the ground. What it meant, when he preached, God followed through because it was God's word. None of the Lord's words to Samuel fell to the ground because they were from the one who made the ground. And how good it is for me. I don't have to worry this morning when I preach. I don't have to go and make you... We're not going to stay here and sing 57 choruses of Just As I Am at the end until someone finally comes forward so we can go to lunch. We're not going to do that. Because if God's calling you, he's calling you. He's calling you today. You've heard his call. And Isaiah 55, 10, 11 says, "For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so my word that goes from my mouth shall not return empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it." God's call comes out and his people will respond. If the Holy Spirit is speaking to you today, today is for you to respond. Therefore, I boldly love to bring it to you again. Let me bring it to you again as you've heard it over and over and over in the church. Whichever one of you wants to respond today, it says, "For God so loved the world." Are you in this world? Yeah, he loved this world, this wicked, sinful world. People from birth who want to be their own gods. "For God so loved this world that he gave his only son, Jesus, the perfect Savior, that whoever he killed, he laid his wrath for the sins of those who trust him upon Jesus. That whosoever, any of you who hear his call today and believe in him, you will not perish like Hophni and Phinehas, but you will become his child like Samuel and know him and have eternal life." Young ones, 3, 4, 5, 12, 15, 17, 42, 57, 68, and on. Talk to your pastor today. Talk to an elder. Talk to your parents. Talk to another Christian. "Have I heard God's call today? I want to know God and not perish. I want to know him and have life eternal. I want the abundant life that he promises. I want to know what it is to be his child." Talk to them today. Respond to God's call to you. But I cannot end today without talking to the seasoned saints. Now, usually when we talk to the seasoned saints, we're talking to our group. What's our group called? The old folks? Sojourners, right? We're on that journey. Journey's going down quickly, but we're on that journey. I guess our journey's this way, right? But any of you who have responded to God's call, you're now getting seasoned. You're seasoned with his salt. But the trouble is, we respond to that call, but now it's just kind of, "Oh, I guess I'll go to church today. I hope I can hold enough for the football game, or maybe the picnic, or we can go to the beach." And that's all there is. It doesn't make much difference during the week. Let us all turn to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, God is speaking to the church through John. And the church has lots of nice stuff. Church has been settled and starting to maybe get some buildings, and maybe they even paved their parking lot. Isn't that pretty? We got nice yellow stripes and blue stripes and some white stripes out there. It's real clear. Man, we got the parking. Thanks. Good job, really. I mean, it's fun to have that. But we can rely on the parking and the building. We got new floors this year. Woo-hoo. Make our singing better. Those are all, nothing wrong with those. But we can all be like Hophni and Phinehas and hang around the holy things and have no real faith and be dead in our own hearts. In Revelation chapter 3, God speaks to his church, and he's speaking to all of us seasoned saints today, that we would answer the call even again, and the fire and the call would be relit within us, that we would follow after Christ. Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. And to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, the words of the Amen, that is Jesus, the faithful and true witness from the beginning of God's creation. I know your works. You're neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. Because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I'll spit you out of my mouth. For you say, I am rich and I have prospered. I need nothing, not realizing that you are wretched and pitiable, poor and blind and naked. Now, I want you to understand that as we get to the last verses, Revelation 21, you've heard that as a call to non-Christians all the time to come to Jesus. Open the door, right? I'm knocking. It isn't to the world. This is to the church that Jesus writes. Because we become lukewarm. We're ready to be spit out of God's mouth because we heard the call, but we no longer have a desire to follow. This call to open the door is for the church. He's writing to the church. He's writing to us. Verse 15, I know your works. You're neither cold nor hot. Would you that were either cold or hot? So well, you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I'll spit you out of your mouth. For you say, I'm rich, I've prospered, I have need of nothing, not realizing that you are wretched and pitiable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may not be rich, and white garments so that you may clothe yourself and shame of your nakedness may not be seen, and salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. So be zealous and repent. And now listen to God's word and call to his church. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hears my voice and opens that door, I will come in to him and eat with him, and he with me. And the one who conquers, I will grant to him to sit with me on the throne, as I also conquered and sat down with my heavenly Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for the beginning call that you give to us often early in our lives. And we pray that even today, among some of our own children and young adults, you have called them to hear you today and to respond or to go and ask, Lord, are you calling me? And they would talk to a parent or a pastor. Father, we thank you that you keep calling. That you know our own tendency to rip you off the throne. We would never tell anybody that. We would never let anybody video that. But we want to do what we want to do, and we want to use you as our bellhop or our bellboy. We'll pray and hope that you bless us, but then leave us alone, God. And we pray, Lord, that our own hearts have got hardened and cold. Would you Would you help us today to answer your call and open that door and know the warmth of your calling that very first day and purpose by your grace and help to follow after you from child to old age to the honor of Christ, we pray. Amen.